Now, we said at the beginning there seems to be an absolute desire to build walls, whether it's the southern border wall being built by Trump if he gets elected as President of the United States, or indeed just a readjusting of our own walls here in Belfast, or the Calais wall. We seem to be very much drawn to putting the bricks and blocks higher and stronger. Let me speak to Patrick Corrigan from Amnesty International. Patrick, good morning.
Morning, Frank.
This latest one, the wall at Calais, it does seem like as if it's needed.
Well, you know, walls, in most long-term problems that face the world, walls are never more than a sort of a sticking plaster, some sort of apparent temporary solution, whether it be to our community divisions here, the U.S., Mexican border, or now this proposed wall. In fact, it's not proposed, it's going to be built over the next few months at Calais. We think it's not simply a stupid idea. We think it's sort of shameful, and actually it represents the sort of shirking of responsibility that typifies particularly the UK government's response to the global refugee crisis, but also France and some other European countries as well. Rather than tackle the cause of this problem, they're tackling the symptoms by building a 1 kilometre wall in the run-up to the port at Calais. And apart from anything else, all it will do will displace the supposed problem to 1.5 kilometres back or 2 kilometres back. The Road Hauliers Association themselves have said that it's a stupid idea, that it's disappointing and doesn't address the particular concerns that they have. So we think that it is really a misplaced policy, and instead the UK government, the French government, ought to be doing an awful lot more to actually provide safety and refuge for these desperate people.
So what would you call on the governments to actually do? What should they be doing for the people in the jungle, as they say?
Well, you know, we need to recognise why people are there in the first place, and that is that in the main they are coming from countries like Syria, Eritrea, Iraq, Afghanistan, places of great war, conflict, persecution, and it's individuals with their families trying to seek refuge in another country. The people in the camp at Calais want, obviously, to come to the UK. Mostly that will be because probably they already have some sort of family members or connection with the UK, and that's why they sort of sought to cross the channel there. And it ought to be recognised that France receives and accepts an awful lot more refugees and asylum seekers than the UK does. It's not that the UK is some sort of land of milk and honey. The UK's sort of punitive response to refugees is much worse than in France. But what we should do is, first of all, ensure that people's asylum claims are speedily processed, so that people, including over 1,000 children and accompanied children in the refugee camp in Calais, are not left there indefinitely. So why not have people from the Home Office go in and start to do early assessment of asylum claims, so that people actually know where they stand, know that they could have a safe and legal route into the UK, aren't forced, if you like, to go via people smugglers or jumping onto the backs of lorries and imperiling their lives, and actually provide decent sanitary conditions in the camp while they're there, but a speedy way out of that camp as well.
Is there not a possibility that if you make it cushy, more and more will come?
Well, you know, it's not about making it cushy. It's about fulfilling our international legal responsibilities and moral responsibilities to these families. You know, the people there, they're not there out of choice. They're there out of desperation. And I think we have a legal responsibility where our people are fleeing conflict and persecution to provide them with refuge. And in the meantime, that people should be treated decently. I mean, that's what we would want, if that was us and our families and our children, simply to be treated decently and in line with the law. And yet what we see instead is quite often quite dangerous, nasty rhetoric directed towards refugees and asylum seekers and other migrants. And you see walls and barbed wire fences rather than safe and legal routes being provided, and you see people destined to remain for a long time in pretty horrible conditions. So it's no surprise that people find themselves instead turning to criminal gangs, to people smugglers, or risking their lives, whether it be on unseaworthy boats or trying to smuggle themselves into the backs of lorries. I think that we can do an awful lot better than this. And if we look at the scale of the problem, you know, we have a global refugee crisis that's been underway now for the last number of years. Countries like Lebanon have 1 million refugees within their borders. The UK only processed 32,000 asylum claims, only accepted 32,000 people last year in the face of this global refugee crisis. Say a country like Lebanon has 1 million, that's a quarter of its population. We're not pulling our weight and we need to do an awful lot more. And I think the generations to come will look back at this time and judge us pretty harshly. And I think that's pretty shameful.
And the building of walls reinforces the shame, does it, as opposed to increasing the security? And I'm talking about walls in general, because like or loathe our wall in Belfast, it has worked for its purpose. Now, I know there will be people who say it is divided communities and all of that, but it has most likely, and I think it'd be fair to say, saved lives. As for the wall that's being contemplated on the southern border, or an extension, a mammoth extension of the border that already exists there between America and Mexico, what does that say about American society? Regardless of Trump, what does it say about American society?
Well, you know, I think we'll have to wait and judge the verdict of the American people in November. It's by no means a foregone conclusion that people are going to vote for this wall or other policy proposals coming from one of the candidates. I think that people, you know, have normal and natural concerns about their society, around security, around jobs, or, you know, things like that. When that insecurity, however, is fueled by politicians who scapegoat others in order to build up their own political base by pointing the finger at migrants or refugees, in the case of Calais, people fleeing desperate conditions. I think that's pretty bad politics, pretty nasty politics, and the scapegoating and the pointing the finger at others as a way of building political support, I think, ought to be rejected. And for our part in this country, I think we ought to reject that sort of demagoguery, and we should say instead we want a humane response to a huge human crisis that's facing our planet at the moment. You know, we have more refugees seeking refuge than ever before because we have let, through our international sort of community failures, we have let conflict take hold and fuel that conflict in many cases across the world. And of course, the normal natural result of that is that you're going to fuel refugee flows out of those countries. You would do it, I would do it, we would do it with our families without hesitation. So we shouldn't be surprised when other people do it. And the response to that must be humane. And we put in place measures to receive those people, treat them decently as we would wish to be treated, process asylum claims, let them live with a bit of dignity in line with international law and standards of decency. And meanwhile, we address the root causes, addressing those human rights violations, the conflict, the wars that we have allowed to take place, and that we create the conditions under which people will be able to return to their homes safely. These people camped in Calais don't want to be there. They want to really be back home where they come from, living in safety, but that isn't the situation facing them right now. And I should say, in terms of our own response here locally, you know, the executive here did step up last year in the face of the refugee crisis, and they very firmly held their hands up and said to the UK government, we want to be part of the Syrian Vulnerable People's Resettlement Scheme. And to date, 150, I think almost now 200 family members have landed and are starting to build new lives in Northern Ireland. But we can do more, you know, and over the next year or two, we will receive more. But I think that we can do more than accept a few hundred people. And while that is welcome, it's tiny in the context of the problem. I should say there's an opportunity for not just us, but the international community to do more coming up in a couple of weeks' time. On the 19th of September, the UN General Assembly is going to host a big summit with world leaders to address the refugee crisis. The next day, President Obama is convening a world leaders summit. And on the morning of the 19th, Monday the 19th, we're convening, along with the Northern Ireland community of refugees and asylum seekers, a demonstration in front of Parliament buildings, calling for our Assembly and our Executive to step up and to do more as well, and to call on the UK government and other governments to do better in the face of this huge human rights crisis. And so we invite people to join us. It's a refugees welcome. rally. It's 11:30 on Monday, the 19th of September. We've invited politicians to join with us in a sort of a collective show of solidarity with refugees around the world. And we'd invite people to do the same. And they can find out more details on the Amnesty NI Facebook page if they want to be part of that and part of the solution and be part of the generation that resolves this problem rather than turns her backs and builds walls against it.
Okay. Patrick Corrigan's analysis on where we are with refugees at the moment and the emerging walls.